Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, we pray as pilgrims in your temple, dancing in the mystery of your encircling love and finding everywhere as holy ground. We pray for your church. May the mystery of the Trinity be unfolded in our life together like a flower in the desert, that we may be enfolded in your one love. In the name of the Holy Trinity, we pray. We are not only experiencing a global pandemic, but we are seeing the results of injustice with protests, both violent and peaceful, in our part of the world and elsewhere around the globe. Two significant crises colliding, amplifying already heightened emotions of fear and anger. Throwing in social media, a 24-hour news cycle, and instant play-by-play news coverage, we can find ourselves in mental overdrive, looking for someone or something to ease the pressure. Humans cannot live for any length of time in chaos, so we quickly try and make sense of things, try and bring about some sense of normal so that we can survive. Yet above the craziness, we hear voices and words of comfort. Dr. Bonnie Henry's mantra, be calm, be safe, and a governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, who said in the midst of unspeakable tragedy, this is a moment that calls for empathy, humanity, and unity. There is something about the combination of three related words or thoughts that human beings can retain. For example, every journey has at least three stages, the beginning, the middle, and the end. Other well-used expressions with the number three sheets to the wind, I'm not going to explain that one, three bags full, a three-ring circus, the three R's, three score and ten, and then there's the movie Three Coins and a Fountain, and Three Blind Mice. On the seawalk, there are two sets of three benches, wooden ones and cement ones. Sometimes three is used as a triplet to describe the intensity of something. For instance, it's not just holy, it's holy, holy, holy. In the Christian tradition, the number three, symbolized by the Trinity, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, biblically represents divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. Today on Trinity Sunday, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth does have a small T Trinitarian aspect to it, but the formal doctrine of the Trinity did not happen until 325 AD at Nicaea in present-day Turkey, where the council established the equality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Paul's words were among those that contributed to the theological conversation that would eventually codify and formalized the doctrine. Paul, steeped in Jewish thought, understood the multiple ways God makes it possible for the family of faith to agree with one another, to live in peace, and to know the God of love is with us. The Corinthian congregation was in turmoil, torn apart by factions, each stressing the supremacy and importance of their differences. One was a follower of Paul, while another declared they owed allegiance to Apollos. These differences had turned the church in Corinth into a congregation of warring groups. Each group was opposed to the other groups. The congregation was so busy fighting among themselves that they had little time or energy left for service. Paul appeals to them to have the mind of Christ, which produces the love needed to heal, restore, and reconcile with each other. This is living a Trinitarian life, which is impossible without the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in community. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. For Paul, joy and peace are two of the important markers of the kingdom. When we demonstrate joy and strive for peace, then the walls of prejudice, racism, and bigotry that serve to divide can come tumbling down. The basis of community is not primarily our ideas, feelings, and emotions about each other, but our common search for God. The presence of joy and peace are indicators of the transformative power of the Spirit of Pentecost and evidence of the work of the Trinity. The Trinity is about unity, and the doctrine by itself makes no sense and serves no purpose if it is viewed merely as an abstract dogma shrouded in mystery. Its essence is unity. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit always working in harmony, agreement, and unity. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Unity is not a general spirit of friendliness or camaraderie, nor is unity some common aim or series of aims. It is the product of the cross and God's work in Christ. Since Christian unity is a result of God's work in Christ, it is not something that we are to aim for. Unity is living and vital. Christian unity starts within and works outward through an organic life, similar to what we see in a flower or Paul's analogy of the human body. The unity of the church and community is organic in character. She is not a collection of parts. The parts do not look alike, they do not function alike, yet each is important and needed. The community is a new creation, a spiritual body created by God in Christ. The old has been done away with, and there are no longer any distinctions. There's no longer Jew and Gentile, slave or free, male or female. And this is the living Trinity at work. Our unity is a unity or oneness that exists not in spite of diversity, but because of it. It is the wonderful differences themselves which, when properly equipped, contribute to the function of the community, and out of this function comes a deeper unity of maturity. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us and live with us forever. Jesus reminds us that he is in the Father, and we are in him, and he is in us. So not only does the Trinity live in you, but it also lives in the other, which means the other is me and I am the other. There are no boundaries, no walls, nothing separates. When we look at each other, we see Christ. The Trinity speaks to this in a profound way, in spite of its mystery and for its many complexities. The Trinity prevents us from having an inadequate picture of God. As Martin Luther said, it is God who handles us, not we who handle God. The doctrine of the Trinity represents our admission that we cannot tame God to fit into our tidy little systems. Like the wind that blows where it chooses and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. We do not have control over God and the way in which God reveals himself. We do not need to be experts on the Trinity. It is not the doctrine which is the basis of our faith. It is the living God whom we meet in Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is alive in our world. All I know for sure is if human beings were created in the image of God, then A, God is wonderfully diverse, and B, we are more alike than we think. We are more alike than we think. All we can do is to decide whether or not to open ourselves up to a God whose freedom and imagination boggles the mind. And that's from the Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor from her book, Home by Another Way. Let us pray. You are a holy God, the Creator, giving us richly all things to enjoy. You are holy Christ, the Savior of the world, made flesh to set us free. You are holy Spirit of truth and love, willing to dwell in us. You are holy, blessed, O God, eternal Trinity, and we worship you. Amen.